All right, it's 6:03, August 20th. Let's call the meeting to order. We do have quorum, so we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I know you've been sworn in. I have read your statements. Oh, sorry, wrong show. All right. Val's not on. I didn't see any public comments in via email. If anybody wants to raise their hand or go off mute and has any public comments, now would be the time to do so. Anyone? All right, moving right along. Thank you all. Well, that's the wrong list. There we go. Approval of previous minutes. We got a email yesterday of the minutes from the last meeting from Bridget. I sent her a couple of minor edits, nothing of significance. Did anybody else have any changes that needed to be made? I call for a motion to accept the meetings as presented.
I move we approve the minutes as presented.
Thank you, sir.
And second.
Thank you, Costas. Any discussion? Hearing none, call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried unanimously. Due to a technical glitch, we did not have posted the minutes for January, February, and March. Joel will get us draft minutes probably tonight, tomorrow. And we'll probably call for a special meeting next Thursday afternoon, a 15-minute Zoom session where we can just approve the minutes so we can get them posted and not be out of compliance with the audits. The audio is up there so people could listen if they needed to, but it'd be nice to get the paper versions up as well. So look for a posting for a meeting next Thursday afternoon. Is 4 o'clock too early for everybody? Do you want to wait till six? Anyone?
I will be out of town next week.
You could call in.
I can call. You're right, I can.
It'd be a Zoom only. We wouldn't actually gather here. I don't think there's any reason. There's not that would be the only motions we'd approve. All right, I will send that out. We are off to the head of school report.
Okay, hello everybody. Can you hear me, first of all?
We can. Thank you.
Fantastic. Had a school report. It's ready for you. I just started to share it. It should be visible to everyone except me for whatever reason. Give me one moment so I can see it. There we go. All right. So our school-wide goals right now and the areas that we're focusing on are the Building 27 ground floor completion, the grand opening, and the first day of school for that. We're also looking at the beginning of the year PD logistics, obviously finishing up our hiring, the preparations of the spaces in the student scheduling, the enrollment targets, the class list, the planning for 26, open house recruiting days and stuff like that coming up, culture plans and academic goals for the school overall. I did have this report sent out last week, so I'm assuming that there's some level of familiarity with it. It hasn't really changed much since last week when I sent it out. So we have final electric is on the 27th for the building. Final fire marshal is on the 28th, and final Newcastle County certificate of occupancy is on the 29th. Fingers crossed all those things work out the way they're supposed to, and we should be in a good position to open up as scheduled. We have an on-site review tomorrow to sequence the remaining work so we can make sure that all the tasks get done in a timely manner and that people are doing things in the order that they can do it to make it as efficient as possible. Because some work depends on other teams' work as well. That's why it's critical that there's cooperation in those components. Despite the tight timeline, the team has performed exceptionally well. And with this continued effort, we do expect to be ready, like we said, to open. The move-in will happen on the 29th, the 30th, and the 31st initially. I'm sure there's going to be more move-in things to do Over the weekend, teachers will be authorized entry on those dates, as well as the second, being focused on all the needs of the building. We do have to make sure that we have a certificate of occupancy before we occupy. So that is something that has to be in place. So if the 29th doesn't go the way we want it, everything else kind of has to move a little bit to a contingency. But assuming that all things are as they are planned to be and as we anticipate and as it seems like it's going, we should be able to follow that timeline specifically. If not, then we'll have to move on a little bit of a tighter timeline. Evan is coordinating efforts to have upwards of 40 to 60 volunteers so that we can move furniture in quickly during that time, which should also help us quite a bit to make sure that we can get all the things done that we want. You probably have received an invitation already. The 27 grand opening is on the 20 is on the 18th from 5 to 7. So we plan a celebration that night. There's going to be a grand opening. There'll be press there. We'll have refreshments. We'll celebrate this huge accomplishment. And we're very, very excited about it. So community invites are coming out as well for our OCS community in just the next couple of days. In terms of our second goal, the beginning of the year PD actually began today. So today we welcomed all of our new teachers and staff. It was a wonderful day of learning and very inspiring to see all the enthusiasm in the room. There are also a lot of other things that are going on in that particular component. And for those specific goals, you know, all the PD schedules were already shared out. They were shared out as of the 11th, and the student schedules are being finalized, you know, depending. There's a couple kids that are still enrolling and stuff like that. So we're still fixing all of those things, but the schedules are finalized and we're striving to have stable enrollment on September 4th this year. And as a reminder, after the first full day of school, Odyssey will not be inviting any more students this year. So that late September rush will not occur moving forward. I know that a lot of people are going to be happy to hear that. It does put a lot of extra pressure on us to make sure that we can somehow thread the needle and that the day one enrollment is the day 30 enrollment, because sometimes what happens is that when you have students that can even show up the first day of school or the first week of school, and then they receive a late invite from another school, and then they end up leaving. And when that happens on a small scale, you know, obviously the organization is capable of handling that. But if you have, in the span of an organization that has 2,500 kids, if you have 50 kids leave, that has a pretty significant financial impact on the school. And so we are trying very, very hard to make sure that we have our data accurate and that we land the plane exactly how we want to land it, so that we are accounting for any sort of attrition that can occur. We have used the attrition records of the last 2 years to make a judgment call on where our day one enrollment should be in order for us to land where we want to land. So I can say I feel confident about it, but you know, 2 years is 2 years. It's not 20 years of data. And so there's a 33% chance that we have a completely different trend this year. But if it follows the trends of the last 2 years, we should be in a good and stable place to meet our budget numbers. So anyway, that's that one. And it's a very important goal for the school. The budgeted enrollment is 2398. We're currently at 2412. That may sound like we're over enrolled. It's not, because the number that we had for this year, based on our modification and the numbers that we had projected out from a few years ago, had us at somewhere around 2480 or so. And so we're going to try to land the plane somewhere around 2460, knowing that by the end of September, we'd end up at 2400, and we are not going to be inviting anybody else. Even at 2460, I can assure you all that we're totally sustainable at that level. And we have the seats, we have the classrooms. The classroom sizes are not overfilled because it's 60 seats across 12 grades. It's not 60 seats in one place. So, either way, we're going to be okay. But let's see. I'm confident that we're doing everything that we can to make sure that we get our numbers exactly where we need to be. but we are trying to make sure that we respect everybody's feedback about, what chaos it causes and how difficult it is when you have kids joining late. So we're respecting that, and we're hopefully going to be able to still hit the enrollment target exactly as we anticipated. Culture plans, all assistant principals of culture and climate will submit a one-page culture plan by September 5th. Each plan will outline the strategies for celebrating student achievement and staff achievement, things of that nature. And the plans will include the specific recognitions and celebrations and so on and so forth. The principals are developing their academic goal plans. The academic goal plans are directly aligned to SBAC scores, AP scores, SAT scores, DIBELS, access testing. So there's no growth goals anymore at the school. In the past, we've used, iReady data and other data in between. We are only looking at proficiency data beginning this year. So the only measurement of academic progress is based on the standardized test scores. So our hopes is that by doing that, it's really, really clear to everybody what it is that we're trying to get. And we're using the direct metric that is used by the state for us to measure ourselves as well. That way we know where we're moving. I'll let kind of Juliana explain a little bit more about that, because the interim testing then changes the way that we do it, but it's all going to be aligned specifically to the state, so that we know exactly where we stand the whole time. iReady is a very good resource, and it does help us with helping kids move and progress, but it is not proven to be a good predictor of success on SBAC testing by the one standard of deviation that we have been anticipating. And nor have the other assessments that we've used in the past. The STAR test was not a good assessment for it either. And obviously, just the regular teacher-generated tests are de and the grades in the grade book are not indicators of success on SBAC or AP testing or SAT testing. So in order to align them better, the way that we assess students is changing to be aligned specifically to the standards that are being directed on those exams, so that even the teacher-generated exams this year, the summative exams, would directly mirror the outcomes that you would get on an SBAC or the outcomes that you would get on an SAT or an AP test. We are speaking confidently about this because last year we pushed this initiative through in the high school for AP testing. Making sure that everybody was using the exact same resource and the style of resource and the same style of testing. And I'm very happy to report, and congratulations to the high school. Their SAT scores doubled in 1 year. They over doubled. They went from 28% proficiency to 61% proficiency in 1 year. And it's directly aligned to making sure that the curriculum and the resources that we're using, the assessment methods are exactly the way they are on the AP exam. And so we're using that as our marching orders to make sure that that's the case in all of our testing protocols. For the building level updates, I'm going to turn it over to Juliana and Ioana to give us a little bit of an update on those things. So I don't know who wants to go first. Juliana, Ioana, who wants to do that first?
We are completing hiring for intermediate buildings. Immersion hiring is complete. I know the public school is specifically working on PD that's focused on increasing rigor for all students and enhancing their use of grief. We are looking at our screeners for the beginning of the year, specifically math. Progress monitoring and our intervention resources to increase our student protection team. And right now we're rolling out a new PLC format, focusing on our lesson plan guidelines for the next year that is empowering teachers to make more interactions for our students. Looking forward to that because we have a database of lesson plans for the entire school, including our program resources. So easy access for all. As for behavior, we're not in the school year yet, but we do have our culture climate AP submitting a culture one pager, and we're focusing on increasing our inclusive classroom communities. We do have our teachers creating classroom community guidelines where they create a contract and sign it. And that's a big push on our first, I would say, first 2 weeks of school. And we have hired more staff to support with our tier two and three teams. As for the elementary events that are coming up, we do have our back-to-school bash on 27th. At that time, it's going to look a little different for all of the buildings. Intermediate school will be able to do a supply drop-off in building one two, and K through three plus and K through two immersion. So 26th and 27th, we'll have a supply drop-off table. We do for building 26, we do have a sneak peek for K plus only, which is on that evening as well. And we have our first day of school for K plus on September 2nd, and we're welcoming all students on September 3rd, which is Monday. We did have a lot of logistics with the immersion building opening. So the immersion building, which is 27, will be opening fully on September 3rd. So that's K through 2 immersion. And we will be welcoming all students back throughout the campus on that day as well. As for the middle school, going back up. The middle school has spent a significant amount of time this summer working on their schedule. It has completely been revamped. This is allowing for more support for our most in-need students. We are also focusing on more exposure to our exploratory classes for the programs or specials. And we are being more intentional about providing curriculum for them. The schedule is also allowing time across grade level departments, so teachers will have the opportunity not only to meet with their grade level team, but they'll also have a planning time department. So if I'm a sixth grade teacher, be able to meet with the sixth grade teacher team, but if I'm an English teacher, I'll be able to also meet with all of the English department, sixth grade. The middle school is also rolling out a team approach this year, which is honestly, there's a lot of benefits to this approach. The building has been completely rearranged so that teams are occupying a hallway. So sixth grade will occupy two wings, seventh grade, same thing as well, and eighth grade. So they actually label them with three names, oracles, items, Argonauts, et cetera. And it will limit student activity in the hallway and keep them to a specific wing, other than traveling to their specials and classes. Also
Thank you.
As for the middle school, they have recently hired a new VP of culture, Katie Manley. She is our new VP of culture and climate. Katie has served in policy and familiar with her as well. We have also hired a new VP of culture in our grades 3 through 5, Rob Boyd, from Stanton Middle.
Yes.
Yeah, and she's been a great addition, really filling in. Upcoming events, sixth graders are reporting for the first day of school on September 2nd, and all students in seventh and eighth grade are reporting on. As for high school, Amanda Leahy recently had her baby, so our VP of academics is on maternity leave right now. But we did have the opportunity to welcome Justin Boyd, who's going to be our new VP of culture and climate. He has already been working here over the summer and working with staff and out of administration to start building a positive culture. We have a chance to meet them. As for academics, we're excited to start the year off. Schedule has been finalized. Schedules have been pushed out for students, and they are fully staffed with all permanent positions. As for upcoming events, the high school is having Camp Odyssey starting next week, this Monday, Wednesday. Where they will be off site for 3 days, 2 nights. Justin Boyd, our new VP of culture, will be leading them and for an impression to really build smaller setting, just the freshman class. Their first major event of the year is homecoming. Homecoming week is September 22nd through the 27th, where they will have a pep rally, the soccer game, volleyball, and the dance. We do have open house, which is coming up Tuesday, September 16th. We have other open houses for the buildings, so the dates will be shared as well. And we are looking forward to everybody coming back on August 27th for our Ioana, I don't know if you, I know you're online. The Greek side.
Let's do the Greek department. Καλησπέρα σε όλους. I would like to say καλή χρονιά. Let's have a great school year. It feels like it's the first board meeting of the school year. So the Greek department has to report mainly two big items. The first one is hiring. So for this year, the effort was, and now I'm going to give you a cultural connection. I think that we made a Herculean effort with epic results. We managed to hire 9 Greek language teachers. It's the first time that we hire 9 teachers from Greece. The highest before that was 7, only 1 year. This year we have 9 Greek language teachers and 4 English language teachers. And then we have some subs from here. As for their visas, 6 of them are already here. The 7th one is traveling tomorrow. The 8th one had her visa approved today and is coming early next week. And the last one, the 9th one, is going to schedule her appointment early next week. And from what I see from the embassy, it seems that now when they hear Odyssey, they give them their visa right away. So for the last 2 teachers, they told them that they can come not the next day, but the day after to get their visa from the embassy. And they haven't done this before. It's the first time that they give us this option, which is great, of course. I would like to give you a few more information about our new staff. This year, we have 2 new but very experienced teachers coming from the Greek Ministry of Education. And that makes our Greek language teachers from the ministry a total of 4 for the whole department. So we had 2, and now we have 2 more, 4 teachers from the Greek Ministry of Education. I was very happy also to see that several from our new staff attended the summer school that we co-organized with the University of Western Macedonia at the end of July. And it was a seminar, a workshop, a summer school for 2 weeks. It was very intense, and the feedback that we got was very positive. They learned a lot of stuff. And also some of them attended a little later the PD that is organized every year from DOE, especially for immersion teachers. But also this year, they gave us the option, the main section, to be attended by all our new staff, not only immersion staff, but all our Greek language teachers. And it was very beneficial. So my second item is, of course, the Greek language immersion school. We are all very proud of it. It's the only Greek language immersion school in the States, and I'm pretty sure globally we don't have any other immersion school. And for the state, if I'm not mistaken, we are the only immersion school. There are many immersion programs, Spanish, Chinese, and we are the only Greek. Maybe there is one more school other than us. So the Greek Language Immersion School, Building 27, is fully staffed, K-2. We have 4 sections per grade level, which give us 12 homeroom teachers. And then we have 5 teachers for GLA and ELE. GLA means Greek Language Arts, ELE, English Language Enrichment. We have our principal, Nikita Andalou. We have our student advisor, Ms. Gishar. We have our nurse, our front office administrator. These personnel are fully bilingual. And that's it for me.
Awesome. I'm going to actually continue with the CIA update with that. So today we welcomed all of our new staff across the campus, which ended up being over 75 new staff, which was super exciting. That includes everybody from transportation, facilities, paraprofessionals, teachers, and administration. We had sessions with Mr. Pappas this morning, and then followed up by HR and business office, IT, make sure everyone had computers, set up with email. The SCA came, we had a session as well, and then we concluded the day with a building and staff members. Tomorrow is our buyback day, so for any staff member that comes in, they're able to trade that time in for February. that is dedicated by staff to prepare for their classroom year. Friday, we welcome all staff. That is our first actual day on campus. If any of you are free and would like to join us, we'll be out on the field starting at 8:30, and we're going to do a big kickoff session. It will be our first time having all staff on the fields without students, full group training. It's going to be really exciting, so I look forward to it. So if you are free, save the date, 8:30, and after that, we will have lunch provided by services. As for instruction, we have our building level administrators who are preparing for the upcoming school year, discussing our PLC structure, department and team meeting planning, figuring out our faculty meetings, and then our DPAS and DPGFS timelines, and that is the teacher evaluation system. We do have a few roles in the CIA team. Karen Erskine was our 6 through 12 instructional coach last year. She is now our curriculum coordinator. She joined OCS last year as a coach and quickly showed her talents and skills and is now one of our coordinators. Greg Altmeyer replaced her as our 6 through 12 instructional coach. He has been with Odyssey since 2014, primarily teaching 7th grade social studies, and we'll look forward to him sharing his knowledge as well. And Ilana, I'm going to pass it to you because I know that you have some at any higher on your team as well. With Tina.
Don't hear you very well, Juliana. So shall I say something about Tina?
Yeah, do you want to introduce Tina to her role?
Yes. All right, so Tina Iliadis, I think everybody knows Tina. She has been here for probably 14, 15 years. She was the founding immersion kindergarten teacher on the Greek side, and then she went on the English side, and then she became the fourth grade immersion homeroom. So she served the school for many different roles and positions, mentor for almost everybody in the immersion. And she's now the new Greek department associate coordinator K-12. And she's going to support Greek and English language teachers in the immersion and then Greek language teachers K-12.
As for assessments, our testing coordinator for the district is Emily Foss. She was introduced to Oval last year. She is a federal employee, so upon her return tomorrow, she's going to be working on compiling all of her data from the 2024-2025 school year from all administrative review. She's also meeting with all administration K-12 to map out our schedule.
And I haven't seen all the numbers because I don't think they've all been published yet, but I think we beat state average in reading, math, and something else. I forget. But our test scores look good.
Yeah, and we'll have like a full report for that.
Yep. Thank you very much. Any questions?
I have a question regarding just with the new school opening, Building 27. What communication has been sent to K through second immersion families and as far as who's going to which school? Because I've been hearing some feedback the last couple of weeks from I was at a birthday party with some other parents where they were just like, so what's going on? So what's the communication plan for that?
Sure. So we sent out a communication to the school. We sent out a school-wide communication, went to staff. I don't know the exact date. I can pull it up, but it is. So it's the same way that the school is going to open. So kindergarten, third grade, sixth grade, and ninth grade will be on the second. The only difference is that the immersion students, the kindergarten immersion students, will not come to school that day.
Okay.
Then all students will come on the third, including all immersion students.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. It was in bold. We did plan on sending out another communication building level on Friday. So the principal will send out, this is when you should be reporting to school. So we already have this communications plan just to add a little clarity to it.
Very good.
Also,
But
the
eventually,
teachers,
yeah.
sorry, Evan, if I can add something, the teachers also will send communication to the families of their students on Friday or on early next week. I'm not sure because everybody will send.
I believe that the teacher communication will be coming out. We anticipate the 25th it should be coming, and then our communication will be coming out, I think, the Friday before from the principals.
All right.
It was August 9th from Odyssey Charter.
August 9th. Thank you.
And we really did that to give the teachers a full day and facilities a full day to just troubleshoot bulletin boards or what teachers need, right? So they're prepared for their students. Thanks for the flexibility.
Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys. I wanted to also bring up two other items. Last week, we sent out the code of conduct updates with some verbiage changes, and I sent over the highlights of the changes in addition to the entire code of conduct, but I moved out the changes so that you folks wouldn't have to read 200 pages of a code of conduct again. And so I'd like to put forward a potential vote on making those adjustments so that we can get those handbooks out to our families and get them signed when the students arrive. And the other one that I have for you is the staff handbook, which was also sent out for review. We'd like that to get approved as well so that we can send that out to all of our staff as well with the beginning of the year with expectations and all that stuff. So at this time, if there are any specific questions on those things, we have the team available here to respond to questions on those items. If there's any clarifications that are needed or whatever else the case may be, otherwise I would request that we try to motion for a vote.
And yeah, to be completely transparent, I didn't read either of them. I don't know if anybody else had an opportunity to review it. Has any comments?
I reviewed as well.
Yeah.
Okay. No questions.
Nothing of concern.
I had no concerns.
No questions here.
I'm completely okay calling for a vote for it.
I move we accept both the code of conduct and the teachers.
I'll second.
Good, beautiful. Any discussion? Hearing none, calling for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion so passed. Thank you. I think our
okay, very well. I'm going to turn over what, should we turn over to finance now?
Yes, unless you've got nothing else. And
the rest
correct
of
me?
Go ahead.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but would that make us the sixth or seventh largest school district in the state?
In the state?
Yeah. I don't know the number.
I couldn't tell you. I don't know what number we rank, but we're pretty up there. I mean, for charter schools, we're number two.
Yeah, I think there's 19 in Delaware, and I think we're at least bigger than 10, which is kind of mind-boggling.
It is,
but
it
awesome.
Is mind-boggling.
Okay, so thank you very much, everyone. We can move on to any out-of-state travel planned? Anyone? Okay. Finance report.
Hello.
Camera's back on the way. Beautiful, thank you.
All right, I'll talk louder. There we go. There you go. We're going to use the teacher voice today. Hello and welcome to our new fiscal year. All right, so far, let me get this out of the way. So far, our revenues so far that we've received this month are our final budgeted revenues that we are expected to receive are just over $61 million. So far, we've received just over $33 million, which is about 54% of the budget. Some of those revenues that we received are state operations at $19 million. We got our tech block grant at $44,000. Ed sustainment fund at $332,000. The other state funds, which include the charter transportation, things like that was $995,000. Our local month funds came in at $160,000. We have $211,000 in cafeteria funds that we've received. We got $16,000 in rent proceeds from our St. Thomas building. Student body activities, we received $157,000. Money received through our capital campaign was $2 million, and other donations were $2.3 million. Our expected expenditures for this year are close to $54 million, and to date we have close to 4.8 million, with 282,000 in encumbrances. So this is 9.42% of the school budget. We are currently at 8.3% of the fiscal year, so we are slightly over, which is completely normal given this time of year and all the purchasing that we are doing to prepare our buildings for opening. So that's not expected, especially with 27, 27. And then here is on one question.
It would help. I'm sure you looked at it, but as a board, you doesn't have that responsibility to review as well. My questions are always, how do our cumulatives and expenses to date compare to prior years? So, I heard what you said, that we're 8.3% of the spending is 9.4%, but last year, were we at the same rate at this time?
We were, because I actually went back and I used last year's narrative as my template for this month, and we were right in line with where we were last year.
Okay. And in all the categories, nothing stood out that
Nothing
you
stood out.
should be pointed out?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but if
No.
anything, probably just with Building 27 opening and all the capital expenses there, that was definitely way out of line from our previous year. That was definitely what stood out as any changes. So, but all the other setting that we've done for textbooks, student supplies, what they need, all of everything, like all the computer supply, all that is right in line with where we are. Okay. Thank you. You're welcome.
Have you submitted to the state the expansion of the new building?
Yeah.
27?
Yeah.
Yes. You have, right? Have they corresponded to you with an increase in funding because of the new space that we have?
No.
Who's working on that?
So the increase in funding would come from student
It's
occupancy.
student
Yeah.
occupancy. It's not based on the land because we
It's not the land, it's
right.
the Exactly, it's an occupancy issue. You have to find more space. And because now you have more space and a lot of that come with it, you should be getting more money this year for facility from the state.
As a charter school, not necessarily. So at a charter school, that's why we do so much fundraising and whatnot, because we are funded by the amount of students that we have enrolled.
In past years, because we're adding one building at a time, we will go to the appropriate person at the state, and they will recalculate a new revenue stream specific to the expansion of the facilities. It's a lot of money. It's possible that they may not use the formula or that kind of financial allotment for the schools. But multiple times we did it from when we were three classrooms to when we had four and five buildings. So I recommend that you contact the person that handles this kind of calculations, because it could be a substantial amount of money coming to the school.
Absolutely. Thank
Gonna start that tomorrow.
you.
If we haven't done it,
They sent it to me.
Yeah, because that building's been sitting for a minute, right?
But it's empty. It wasn't occupied.
Mm-hmm.
They only give you extra funding on spaces that you
it's occupied. Right. Sure, sure.
You do have the formula on per student basis, but as you occupy more facilities, more buildings, you also get additional funding for that.
That number changes.
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank
you. If you can also, if it's still going the same way with the state, see if you can get it also retroactively because you have identified a lot more spaces in the past
sure.
couple of years, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like academia, they used to get that money. Now we used to get us, and it would be hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Phenomenal.
I will do that. Thank you.
I'm happy to spend that. Thank you.
Look for a motion to approve the web report as presented.
I move we approve the web report.
Look for a second.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None. Hearing none, motion so passed unanimously. Thank you. Moving right along, the CBOC. Did you guys have a meeting today?
No.
Okay.
We are on summer recess, June, July, August. We'll be back on board September.
Okay.
September, I think, 17th, next board meeting.
Sounds right.
Yeah. Costas, I'll get that all up online, too.
Costas, you get to attend that meeting.
Sorry?
The CBOC, the Citizens
Budget Oversight
Budget Committee. Oversight Committee.
Yeah.
You get to get here a little early.
I'll make sure you're on that email.
Okay,
great. And if I remember correctly, you'll have a full group of people in that meeting now.
We do.
That's awesome.
Representation in all buildings, yeah. A lot of families showed up.
Committee reports. I don't think we have any, and I think
before we go to that, I have a couple of questions for our finance people.
Oh, please.
Your ledger is run on a group program, right? Right. We've been, that's what we've been doing for many years. We expenses, revenue, how it's spending, how it's spent out. It's an accrual system, correct?
Yes.
Right. Is there any cost economy that's been down by your office or people that have worked
with? Maybe Elias can help with that because I'm not sure what.
He's dropped off.
Can drop off. I'm not sure what Jeff has done and did the board left.
Okay. Do people in this room understand that they've been doing an accrual? Practices and cost account.
I do not. Nope.
So
no math.
Let me explain. By the way, accrual is the right way to go, especially for schools. Because of the way funds come in, funds go out. You just have a taste of that in the report. Not everything comes in, but a lot of things go out, right? So sometimes you run a surplus, sometimes you run under, right? Deficit. So when you do an accrual financial statement, this is done specifically as a window of our finance. So we and the community and everybody else, our investors, can see how we're doing it. That's our financial health. That's all good. And it's paramount that it's done properly. Cost accounting is a different kind of accounting that is done in organizations. So you can go and look at your numbers internally and it's done for internal purposes only. And you can have your ledgers and your sub-ledgers, and there you keep track of the things that are very high importance to you. Like, for example, numbers that are definitely used to see, numbers that are first line principles what you see. And so we know how the costs are allocated and so on and so forth. So these are internal mechanisms that improve cost accounting to get a very good handle on your cost, your expenses. That has a lot of implications of how you run not only the finance school, but also how you support a number of programs that we're doing, academic programs, and you find out whether or not you're spending maybe too much money on something that is not producing, or you're not investing enough money on something that needs money first. So the reason I'm asking these questions is because when charter schools were created back in 1995 in the state of Delaware, were given a mandate to also act like businesses. And if you notice from all the information Elias has, he wants to incorporate a lot of his business practice into an academic organization. That's all good, and we should always support him, right? But when it comes to this type of an approach, that's when cost accounting becomes important. And this is something we need to look into it to see what Jeff was doing for the Alliance. And if this is something that in a $60 million organization where we have a lot of line expenses, payables, receivable, you live us that every day, right? We all understand these type of things, and we do whatever it takes to be able to allocate these monies properly to the people who have their budgets and so on and so forth. Transportation, right? It's huge. A lot of inflow, a lot of money. So that's why I'm asking the question. And I believe that this is something that I recommend to the board, to the administration, look into it, especially for when you move to a business type of managing our school, our organization, our affairs.
So do you want to request like a follow-up for next meeting?
I will make a motion since I brought up the subject.
That's a question. Okay, fine, well, it's kind of things. It's a, let me say, software people, how people will be trained for that, how people just will get acquainted with that. And then,
well, the people that need to handle that and the load is going to go to the business.
Okay.
To the people who are running the numbers, right?
Good.
And do we want to focus on, like, not to interrupt you, do we want to focus on, like, a department? Or do we want to focus on a building, right?
No, it's cost accounting looks at your $60 million and hopefully your $55 million expenses.
Yep.
Right?
Sure.
And looks at every detail, and the more detail, the stronger you are as an organization.
More you understand, yeah.
Because you can support each program at the school, each academic program at the school, all your extracurricular activities, all your AP courses, everything literally academically, you can give them the money they need to perform their best. And that's where it's going to come in hand.
No, I understand. It's fine. My question was how? It's a rubric in something, in software, something, it grabs my hand.
No.
It makes no difference. That's the question.
No, but
so they know.
Your answer to that is this. For both accruals and cost accounting, there are standard accounting practices that you follow right now for your accrual, and there are multiple prepackaged programs that you can use and allow to customize them for the needs of our accruals, specific needs of our accruals. And so, if we're to go to take a look at this, which I highly recommend that we do so. Considering what Elias wants to do. And our job is to be able to make Elias' job effective, right? So these are the tools he's going to need to do his job properly. So for us, we can take a look and see what kind of support can we give Elias and you, because I'm right, with running the finances of our organization.
So you have the option of saying yes. Whatever you say, go to Google and say and find out some generic instructions how you do that more effectively. Otherwise, in the beginning, you have somebody have to show you.
Yeah, this is not space science, right? I mean,
okay.
People have been writing this kind of
exactly
things every day for all different kinds of organizations.
That's great.
But again, I'm motivated by what Elias wants to do.
Great.
He wants to have vice presidents. That they need to, and I have other questions along those lines too, because if we're going to support this effort, which I believe we should, right? We need to provide you with all the tools and the support you need to be successful. That's what we should do with that, hoping something good is done. We did this in the past, and it just happened to work. Okay.
So, in essence, if I'm understanding correctly, we're looking at the profitability of each
division, department, et cetera, perhaps grade, perhaps, you know, immersion program, perhaps, you know, flex, or the different program, whichever, however way the administration decides to split it out. Mm-hmm. And essentially you're looking at income coming in, which would be students plus the allocation of the federal and state budget that would go to that part, that division, right? And then you would be better able to estimate, does this make sense that so many expenses are allotted here when the income from that area is so much? It just gives you a different view, right, of how the budget is allocated. Is that correct?
No, it's actually the exact opposite. It was the county allowing you meaning the administration, to drive where you want to go. It's a proactive way of controlling the finances and say, this is how we want to be organized. This is where we want to go. That's the post accounting practices. You can create all these kinds of differentiated measures in there that you pick and choose. That's why it's internal. You don't, and then based on that, then you drive yourself to where you want to go.
So we do break it down internally where we have different like operation units, where we have like facilities and we have the school.
Correct.
And like we have all that and it's all broken
yes.
down.
That's a great beginning, but yeah. You will find out that you start diving into those things, mm-hmm. right? Then you begin looking at details that you never thought of looking at before. And something along the lines of what Georgie was talking about. How do you allocate revenue and costs, right? What proportionality do you take? You'll figure all this stuff. You know, it could be a big ball game at the beginning, but as you dive into it, because you do have already a lot of information in front of you, which are influences, and you find out that you will be driving. And I can give you other examples, but they're a lot more private. We can talk in private about the same. Based on the organizational structure, we don't need to go there right now. But as a general principle, I make a motion that the administration, along with our business office, to allow the planning that we're doing right now, along our organizational structure, to also look at a cost accounting mechanism that can be implemented by your office and your support staff so that we can drive our strategic direction that allows us to take the school towards and be able to be successful.
It sounds like milestones. You do this, you do this. So
yeah, all that stuff. Yeah, it doesn't happen overnight,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, you set up.
Yeah, I set up the same milestone. I reached that level, you know, or the level. Yes, I said this on the end. Do you have any example given so you make them a little faster, go faster?
I'll be very glad to work with you on this type of things, right?
Yeah.
But you, again, because you're an experienced professional, you work with numbers every day.
We'll figure it out.
Exactly. It's not going to be a foreign language.
Right.
It's just a different way of looking. So I made the motion. It was a little lengthy, but it's on tape, my fault. And if someone else has an interest in that, you don't have to accept it. That's a recommendation I'm making right here in seconds, or if there's a consensus around it. Any conversation?
The only conversation I have is just that why we have until the next meeting to kind of try and sort of see how they get it, and then we make it as.
Yeah,
something like this.
Instead of a motion now, yeah, request
follow-up. Yeah, something like this. A stepping stone. Somebody just to make them more effective. And it's fine, just takes one.
Sure, you can do that. You can investigate it longer. I have no issue with that. The only thing I'm going to say to you is that right now you have a proposal for an organizational structure that require AAA discussion. Okay, I'm not going to be gentle about it. If you don't do that, the organizational structure, the vision, the legacy, it's not going to win. Right? Because you need to have these differentiations because you have different parts, moving parts in these organizations that are not the same. They're different. So they require different headcounts, they require different budgets, they require different timelines, and the list is long. As I said, catalogs. So yes, we can move it to the next one.
That's
my point.
Yeah. I agree
with
you.
All
right. It's fine.
But
what you want to do, but if you want to put forward a motion, then just...
I just did. I did. I made a motion earlier.
But what is the motion? Motion to...
Don't make it very quick to the point. In order to support the proposal that we have from Alliance to revise the organizational structure, what is it? The board and the administration needs to look at cost accounting practices that would be required to support that vision and that proposal that we have from our administrators.
So the board is look and then.
So that's my motion. Again, we can slow it down.
Yeah.
We can discuss it another time.
Yeah.
We can further discuss it. That's fine.
Why don't we ask them to take a look at the concept and see what kind of effort is needed, both if there's cost involved, if there's manpower involved, and just get back to us next month so that we can make that decision on how to move forward. I think it does make sense to take a look at finances from a cost perspective as business running, but to throw it at you blindsided, I will give you a couple of weeks to figure it out and for school to start. So, you know, we've got that on your head too. But I think that's reasonable.
That's more or less. Yeah.
Okay. I hate to say this to you. You're about to make decisions on what we call now West Coast, and we can give any type of environment, that are going to be compensated based on things that require cost accounting. If you don't do that, then you're committing a very big injustice in the system. I can give you more details on that. But again, I think these are things that we should be discussing more in private. But I just gave you a quick fundamental example, because you're about to start putting payroll together, right? And new titles and all these kind of things without cost accounting. You will be shooting from the hips. Okay. So
again, to be transparent, I don't understand accounting, don't want to understand accounting, but I appreciate that people do want to understand accounting, and I can't second a motion. So that's where we're at.
So where?
You just need a second, and we can vote.
I second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Yeah, there's going to be more discussion.
Which is completely okay. Call for a vote on the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm lost right now. What motion?
Yours.
Yours.
I abstain.
Any opposed? Motion carries on aye with one abstaining. Make it so, number one.
I will make it so.
Let us know what you need. I think that's the important thing, because if we don't know where every penny's going, then we don't know where we're going.
Yeah, so, they know where every penny's going.
Oh, I know.
We're very fortunate to have that.
Yes.
Let's make no bones about it. These folks are keeping us straight.
100%.
They know where it's going. They know when it's coming. That's a cool, right? They've been doing it successfully. They're satisfying all state, federal requirements, taxation, of course. standard accounting practices. Let's make no ifs and buts about 100%. All right, I don't want this conversation to be translated into anything else. What they will be doing with cost accounting is they will be able to handle this $61 million budget that, you know, tiger that we have right now, that keeps on growing, a lot more effective. It will make their lives easier. It will make the administrator's life easier, and everybody will know exactly where they stand. That's the deal. Okay.
One idea is just rearrange whatever you have and follow a pattern. Just want to show that, like anything else. Okay. So as my point was, in the beginning, somebody to show you that how it's going to be. I don't have experience for that, so I cannot show it. But as a teacher, I always say, how you go from A to B, you cannot go from A to B just like that. You need something in between, and you're reasonable. That's what my point. That nothing else. Okay. The path forward.
So let us know what you need. Elias bailed before he got through the rest of the.
We just saw the operations report.
Yes, please.
I will try to be long-winded only because a lot of the items that I'm going to talk about under operations do revolve around 27. So you may hear me say building 27 a lot. But I'll start off with transportation. Infinite Campus and Where's the Bus transportation assignments have been completed, so parents know what bus they're riding. They're able to see it on their app as well, which is a big thing for the first day of school. The purchase and delivery of our one used 2021 bus and our two new 2025 buses, one that's sitting right out front, which totals 29 OCS buses since our first bus purchase in the launch of January 2017. So we've been doing this for 7.5 years, and we now have 29 buses. Yep. If you do want to go for a ride after the meeting, 7:30, 7:35, just pontificating what time we're going to be leaving, but we will go for a ride if you have time. We do encourage parents the first day of school, so your child's correct first day of school, please get on your bus. It makes it easier for us. It allows your child to understand their schedule. It also alleviates traffic on campus for the first day of school. I always make the joke that everyone's mom drops them off. My mom dropped me off. I'm teasing. She lives in New Jersey. She does not drop me off the first day of school. But we do encourage you, if you ride a bus the first day of school. It's a good day. It's a good way for your child to start their schedule. We will send out a communication that bus will run 8 to 5, 15 to 25 minutes late, the first 2 to 3 weeks of school. We will send a communication out. It happens every single year. We just want to ensure every child gets on their correct bus in the afternoon. It takes a little longer for our K to 2 students, especially with a new building, to get on their correct bus. Again, our manager of transportation, Josh, will send out a communication, probably multiple communications reminding families that buses will run, again, 15 to 25 minutes late the first couple of weeks of school to ensure safety. Under IT, we're preparing teachers and staff for the opening of Building 27, phone lines, internet, paging systems, speakers, cameras, being able to get in and out of doors properly, working with Trium. Dino and his team have been working tirelessly in Building 27. They've also been processing campus-wide moves and rolling over all new data for this school year and working with building level principals to ensure that IT needs are met before the first day of school, which is coming at us pretty quick. Facilities, we finalized all of our summer projects. We are still finalizing some of our final summer moves. We do have some principals who are moving some classrooms around, and that is A-okay. We're here to support. And we are going to start focusing on Building 27 needs next week, which is putting together desks, getting ready for having 60 people on campus. You will see communication from me asking for able-bodied volunteers. I do apologize. We're not asking for students to be on campus. We're asking for people. Just like when your friend asks you to move, it is not going to be easy. We're asking for people in four-hour blocks on the afternoon of the 29th and on the 30th and the 31st. You will see that communication that will come out from me either tomorrow or Friday. We are starting to replace carpets in specific areas. We are focusing on the Greek wing of the second floor of Building 22. We are focusing on stairwells in both building 21 and 22 because of some tripping hazards that we've seen over the years. We're focusing on building 21 outside of the gang bathrooms and the cafeteria where all students enter that building. And then the gym and music room on the first floor of also building 21. This is going to be a VCT floor match. It is the exact same floor that's in that has gone into building 27. We're going to mirror those hallways to then match not only the hallways, but also the classrooms, right? We do have an idea of what that cost is. Right now, without demo in building 27, it's going to cost us around $300, a little bit over $300,000. I'm assuming with demo and the moving of lockers and the ripping out of carpet, it's probably going to add another $50,000 if you focus on like just a specific building. But we want to focus on the major needs of areas that need to get done, i.e. the Greek wing in building 22. And then we will.
Just mute yourself.
Okay.
There we go. Close.
There it is.
There is still a major focus on mouse trapping in buildings. We have used August as a key focus. We've set anywhere from 25 to 50 traps. In these places where we're setting that many traps, we're catching one mouse, sometimes no mice at all. So that's a good thing. But the focus is going to continue into the school year. We're going to pay really close attention to food in classrooms and the cleaning with custodians to ensure that there are no mice in our buildings. Food service is gearing up for the beginning of school year. They started training today. They had the first training today, and they are gearing up for staff luncheons and the opening of the first week of school. There's a big preparation for that. Under safety and security, our first constable that Odyssey will have started actually today. She was at new staff orientation. Maureen Binkley is her name. She served with the Wilmington Police Department for 20 years and will join us at Odyssey. You will see her with an Odyssey logo shirt with the constable on the front and the name constable on the back. It is state mandated. And she will be carrying her 9mm that was bought by Odyssey Charter School. She did her day and night shoot. She has to do another shoot within 90 days. And I will be present with her when she does that shoot with a state trainer. We are doing ALICE training tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in building 23 with all new staff. And then we are replacing vestibule, basically the front doors, they're called vestibule doors, in building 21 and 26. And there's a few single doors that we're replacing around campus, both IT facilities and other members of staff, have voiced that as one of our safety concerns. And I could not agree with it more. These are, old DuPont doors. We fixed them enough. We band-aided them enough. It's time to replace them. So, any questions, yes, comments, sir. Concerns?
First, I want to thank you, man, because 7.5 years ago, as you say, you started with training a budget, right? And that would have been 15, 16, 17. And now you're leading with the service, and I appreciate that. If you recall, the reason that we implemented this kind of a program, transportation, was for three reasons. One were delays at the bus stations. The second were safety issues associated with the delays.
Yeah.
And the third one was the unreliable service we're getting from transportation companies who were having huge problems with the bus drivers. Tell me how you're doing on these things for the last couple of 2-3 years. Let's say last year, what kind of feedback were you getting from our parents on this issue?
Sure. So I won't take the words out of Josh now, but we do post the data of the timeliness of our buses. And I think that overall our routes are running 99.99.
Working.
Correct.
Good. Thank you.
Josh is the transportation manager. Yeah, our buses are, I mean, not 100% on time. 100% would be perfect. Again, September, We do run that data, but we on purpose run our buses, you know, to ensure the safety of students. We're also working with the APs on the assistant principals of culture. And I'll let Josh speak to it because we do presentations with the students, with the APs of cultures, specifically K to five, correct? They get a coloring book that coincides with how you act on the bus. And there's students who maybe come from another district or come to Odyssey in kindergarten and never rode a bus before. We want to focus on how you act on the bus, why you sit on the bus, how it's safe to act on a bus. And we know that discipline issues have gone down from when we were the first student. They've gone down significantly. I'll let Josh speak to our camera system, because this is something innovative that we haven't really spoken about. But on the from the AP lens of discipline on a bus, I'll let Josh speak to the camera system that he implemented.
So last year started doing our camera systems. There are five cameras on each bus that allows us to see down into the seats from overhead. That gives us a better view of each student, what they're doing, you know, their face, and we can identify them later if we need to. And also allows us to look in live in real time as the bus is going down the road. That's definitely given us a better point with the APs, culture, and climate, so that we can identify as quickly with parents. A lot of the time when we get video and make phone calls, it's before the students have even gotten home. So they can meet the driver at the bus stop, have that conversation, and hopefully correct the issue.
That's some great stuff. Thank you, Dan.
Nice.
Appreciate it.
So those three
are yeah, a very tough job here.
I always tell everybody that when you gave me transportation, I was actually absent. And I just came in and you guys told me I was in charge of transportation.
Yeah.
But we fixed that issue, and it has been, you know, and you see it all over the news. You see it in Delaware, you hear about buses being late. When you can say that a school district runs buses nearly 100% on time is it's unfathomable. It does not happen. It does not happen in Ohio, it does not happen in New York. But it happens at Odyssey Charter School, and it happens every single day. And the camera system that he implemented, the reason why, and it was brought to us by Josh, the reason why he did it was because principals were coming to us and asking us, can we see what happened on the bus? And there's always this student, that student, the investigation. And now we can pull that camera, he can have that video to the principals immediately, right? So then we can talk to the students, we can show the students, we can talk to families about appropriate behavior on a bus. And it doesn't escalate. There's no he said, she said. And that was a phenomenal tool that you did. So thank you for doing that.
Well, I want to let these folks know that you got control over this appropriation issue within the first year. And it looks like you guys have been improving substantially ever since. And that's wonderful.
Thank you. Thanks for your support, everybody. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Of course. My other question for you is, what's the budget looking like for building 27? Where are you right now?
We are a little over, I want to say, 60% of the budget for the first floor. The first floor did incorporate the entire fire alarm system because they wouldn't give us the CO, which is sprinkler system and the fire alarm panel for the entire building, meaning if there was a fire on the second floor, we would know, right? They wouldn't let us occupy that. So there's some cost numbers that are associated with the second floor that we're already doing. So we're at about 60 to 65% of that budget. The majority of that budget is going to be two things. It's going to be outfitting and HVAC. And outfitting doesn't cost us too much. It's about 20% of that rest of that budget.
Outfitting, you're talking about F&E?
We're talking about walls, we're talking about electric, we're talking about paint.
Oh, okay.
But the majority of the final part of that budget is HVAC. So we're looking at HVAC. There's 11 units left on that building, and the goal is to repair as many of those units as we can. Unfortunately, Newcastle County, when we were in the process of repairing, we looked at 5 units. Out of the 5 units that we looked at, 4.5 are up and running of the existing units. So I'm not going to promise that I'm going to have 11 units up and running. We've already kind of robbed Peter to pay Paul. We've taken some material off of some units, and we call it, and only because I know this offhand, call it unit 14, is going to be deemed unrepairable. We're going to make that a new unit. But the goal is to, and with Deb, sit down and say, we're going to budget in 2 new units every year until we can put new units completely on that building, because those are the oldest units on our campus as of present. But the goal is to save a significant amount of funding in that building with an HVAC. We are not going to reuse the ductwork. The ductwork runs about, I want to say, $350,000. So it is a significant chunk of that. But if we can make a really big dent, and I want to say about a 3/4 dent into the $500,000, we'll be able to save a significant piece of that budget. When I looked at ordering for that building, we were working with a couple of different outfits. I threw it out there. Deb probably heard me on the phone, kind of wheeling and dealing. But I asked for 50% off one of just someone who has furniture in-house, right? So when we were using it, it's called School Specialty. I threw that out there. I maybe don't want to say this live, but he's given us 35% off of website prices. And we have ordered a significant amount from him. But we looked at the way that desks were, and just desks from another company were going to cost us $70,000 to $100,000. And we ordered all of our equipment for under $70,000, desks and chairs, brand new for Building 27.
Okay. So all in, by the time you open the doors of the first floor, how much money are you going to spend?
We're going to be a little under $3 million.
Under $3 million.
Yep.
It's going to be under $100 a square foot. But a lot of that money, a good portion, goes for infrastructure to support the second floor in the future.
Yes, yes, yes. And we are going to definitely sit down and budget.
I've watched it, and they're doing a very good job there with picking out even a lot of these things.
It does. And we talked about Building 27. I mean, we determined on July 10th.
Information for the rest of the board. Typically, school, public school, not always. We have been spending $150, $200 per square foot of what we're doing for the department. That's a beautiful thing. The state right now, and these are a little old numbers, they're probably a lot higher now. It's increased cost for new. They spend $300, $400, $500 a square foot for the building. And that's why we're going to see school for them. So, very good management of our resources, guys. Thank you.
We're doing a good job. We're doing a good job, and I have a good partner who tells me, helps me with spending.
Do you have a time frame on the second floor?
We do not. We do not. That's fine. We do not have a time frame. We're still waiting, and this is why we redlined the cafeteria portion. We're still going to serve in the cafeteria, hot and cold lunch, the same way that we served before Building 20's cafeteria. We already are prepared to do that. Food service is, we already have all that equipment, if you will. But we're still actually waiting on the permit for just the kitchen portion. But they've already started working on the demo of the second floor.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've got no PTO report, new business. I don't have anything for the good of the school. Board training.
Sorry, Renee, did you have anything for you? Because I think that was on a live document too.
It is. Thank you. It's okay. We hired just about 85 folks as of today. We had a couple of people make some last minute decisions and resigns. We have 3 vacancies left, but they the team is still doing the interview.
I think one of my thoughts takes about the start dates for everybody, just so it's on record. That's my mind.
Yes.
So Tuesday, September 2nd, it is the first day of school for kindergarten plus, third grade immersion, sixth grade, OHA, ninth grade, and 12th grade. On Wednesday, September 3rd, all other students return. All calendars have been updated, and we will send out a number of my email.
Yeah, we're starting to go to school. So first thing is training. Board governance training is something we all need to enjoy. It's about 4 hours. It's a morning or an afternoon, and our choices are Tuesday, September 9th, or Monday, September 22nd. Tuesday, September 9th, or Monday, September 22nd.
What time?
We can have the morning or the afternoon, kind of like a it's kind of like a Comcast appointment. I'll get all the details. I just have to start by picking a date.
I'm out on the 9th.
I prefer the 22nd. The 9th is too close to the start of school.
It's too close to right now. So that I was thinking the 22nd as well. Any preference to morning or afternoon?
I have mornings before Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Monday, my class starts at 6. Tuesday starts at 3:30. So Monday, noon, morning is fine with me.
What?
In person?
Yes.
And what?
I don't have any details yet.
What time is morning starting at?
My guess would be probably 9 to noon, but I'm guessing.
Don't mind that. We go at 6.
Well, I'm in charge of my portion of the family carpool, so I will be here between 8 and 8:30.
And if you'd like to do it here, I just want to offer we can find space for you.
I was about to lift my head to ask if we can find. Okay, so I will try to get it here.
Okay.
On Monday the 22nd.
What building are you on? We can do it. How does that sound? We can do it right now. Maybe we'll do it in Bridget's classroom. Okay.
You guys can see all the juniors.
With 24 kindergartners.
That'll be great.
Second floor of 27, I'll bring my sledgehammer. That'll be our team building activity.
It's like board team building.
We'll chip tiles and learn governance. Chip tile, learn governance.
Love it.
Okay, I will book the day, morning, and then find out what all the other details are and share them the instant I know.
Okay.
I realize everybody's not going to be able to make it, but I went 5 years ago and learned stuff I never expected I needed to know. So even if you can't attend, your cohorts here will help spread the knowledge.
I mean, your suggestion last time to attend this meeting was really good.
Yes.
Really, I didn't realize this, all the kind of things that I faced when I was working for the federal government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you learn things like somebody put together, you'll love this, someone put together a bill to require all schools in the state of Delaware for any construction project to set their budget and hand that over to the unions to spend, find resources, and manage the project. So
I can't wait for them to do that.
Wouldn't that be fabulous? Because then we could spend $250 a square foot. So
it might even be more than that.
Could yeah. Very well be, but they would manage the project and the budget and handle all the bidding and all of the selection. It is not. It was just proposed. Okay. The Charter School Network kind of beat that one up, and then the schools realized how bad that would affect them too. Mm-hmm. The Charter School Network said, well, if you're going to decide how we spend our capital funds, you're going to need to give us capital funds.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of stuff you learn at these training sessions. It's very, very helpful. Any other new business?
Obviously, go to the school.
Go to the school.
All right. Over the years, since 2006, I have developed a number of very good relationships with nonprofit organizations, and Renee knows that we're able to raise a lot of money for the school, quite a few million actually. Since I left the board, I have maintained those relationships. And not only that, but I have also pursued many other organizations of the educational nature around the country, educational matters. There are a couple of philanthropic organizations right now that are looking to talk to me about these educational matters that I've been advocating for the community. And September 9, one of them that I have been courting and we've been talking for a couple of years now, I'll be meeting with them to discuss further details. The reason I'm bringing this up to you is the work that I have been doing outside of Odyssey. When I do it, I always keep Odyssey in the back of my head, my heart. But at the same time, I have not been able to directly advocate for the school because I was an ex officio kind of person, right? Now I'm on the board. And I know that the school needs resources and money. I would like to get permission from the school that when I speak to these people, although I'm not a fundraising guy, I'm a development person, probably my problem, I can advocate for the school. In this way, if they say yes to what I put in front of them, and there will be a common thread between what we plan to do. It's certain educational aspects in certain areas of the country, I can say that policy may be of interest. So I'm asking for that permission from the board, as I said, to be able to advocate for the school and not necessarily be that person that will close a deal with them, let's put it this way, but support the school's efforts and the people who are the appropriate people within the organization to further the deal material. So I want to make sure that either a yes or not, any people understand it.
I can chime in here. This is Jackie McCutcheon. I think you and I, Dimitri, can coordinate together, and we can tag team what we're looking at and what we're doing. I apologize. I'm on bereavement and clearly in the vehicle with a unhappy child, so it's having a little bit of difficulty hearing you right now. But I would love to coordinate our efforts together. And I think your role and my role of what you're looking to do and what I am doing is going to tie beautifully together.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly how I closed my statement, that this is not my job. But at the same time, the job of every board member is to provide resources to the school and to provide opportunities for the school and open doors. And this is what I'm proposing that we do. It's already implicit in the board member's position. Just want to be totally transparent so the appropriate people within the organization that are doing this kind of things are fully informed of what's happening. And I'd be very glad to sit down with you, Jackie, and bring you up to speed with what I've done since 2006 when we opened the doors and what I would like to do with your support, because we didn't have a person like you then. We were doing everything internally on our own. So you let me know when you would like to.
Yes, you like absolutely. To
and I'll be very glad to meet with you and anybody else who wants to be part of the conversation and share ideas with you.
Great. And I think every single person is an agent of the school and has the ability to speak to the great successes that we have and the vision for our future. So I think we can put together some really great material to provide so people feel that they have what they need to speak on behalf of Odyssey.
Do you have my contact information, Jackie?
I have your email address. So if there's something more, please feel free to email me on my email address and we can connect.
Okay. I have been having problems in the last 3 days with the school email. I keep on going on circles.
Jackie, I'll send you his personal email because I know I have yours and I have his.
Try to touch on both of us.
And I'll have Dino fix your email.
And Kenny can give you the email I can use and later.
Yep, absolutely.
And this way we can get in touch.
And I think what you're proposing is what you said we should all be working on too. I think the key is to just keep everybody, whether it's on the school staff or us on the board, just in the loop with what you're doing and what you're proposing as you go along the way, so that we can step in and help as needed or as requested. Because we all want the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. We went through chronologically through an experience where few people, board members, voluntarily were doing all these things. But now we have an organization where we have the pros handling these kind of things, and it's best to use the pros to get things done. And we should be helping.
Anybody else? Sadly, we do need to have an executive session, but we'll try to keep it brief. We will not have any motions that I'm aware of coming out of the executive session. So you can stay if you want to, but all you hear is silence, and then we'll come back and we'll adjourn the meeting. It's mostly just some real estate and some personnel stuff. So I need a motion to go into executive session, please.
I move we enter into the executive session.
Thank you. Second? Thank you. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Motion approved. We'll move to executive session. Thanks for attending.
Unmute and camera.
Monica tried to leave. We caught you. All right. We are. No, sorry. Your speaker. Your other mute.
The other mute.
All right. We're back. It is
8:56.
8:54. We are back from executive session. As I said, there is no motion. There was nothing motionable discussed in executive session. So I would love a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I move we adjourn.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Nay. All right. Thank you. We will have a special session next Thursday afternoon to approve the minutes that we will get in the next couple of days.
What time next Thursday? Six? What time next Thursday?
Can we do like four?
No. Well, I cannot make it. I'm in the classroom.
So it's just Zoom. What time is your class over?
3:30.
3:30? So why can't you make four?
No, 3:30, 4:45.
Oh, it starts at 3:30.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And you can do
5 o'clock. All right, we'll do 6 o'clock.
Fine.
So
I know, but it's fine.
All right, next Thursday, 6 o'clock, and our plan is only to run through the minutes. There shouldn't be any other.
And it'll be only Zoom. There won't be any.
Correct. Yeah, it will not be. That's perfect. All right. Thank you all. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
9:56.